Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, Jesus teaches us about anxiety. Specifically, he teaches us about the ills of anxiety, that anxiety and worry are wrong. I don't have to ask for a show of hands in order to see if any of you have committed the sin of anxiety. I know without a doubt that everyone in this room, myself included, has been anxious many, many times in our lives. It's something that's so common. We wonder if it could even really be a sin. There's simply so much to be anxious about. The kids, the grandkids, the weather, the government, the economy, the house, the car, the family, school, work, retirement, and of course, that all-important bank account. And this is just a short list. It's just so natural. Is anxiety really even a sin? Consider the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. Which Luther explains by saying, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. When we're being anxious, are we really trusting in God above all things? This is exactly what Jesus is getting at in his sermon today as he teaches us about anxiety. But before we can begin with our text, we must first recall our reading from last week, which comes immediately prior to our lesson for today. Jesus has just told the parable of the rich fool, a man who had plenty, who, after his hard work, decided it was time to relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Yet God said to this man, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Jesus concludes the parable by saying, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Our text from today is Jesus' continued commentary on that parable. The two are very connected. So keep the moral of that story in mind throughout the sermon today. And that moral is this. Since all die, the things of the world don't ultimately matter. So why should we worry about them? Instead, concern yourself with the one thing that does matter, everlasting life, and be rich towards God. Jesus begins our text today by providing three practical reasons why we should not be anxious. First, he says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Notice that Jesus doesn't tell us not to be anxious about frivolous things. Instead, he says let's be anxious about really, really important things, fundamental things that we need for life on this earth. Food and clothing. Why? Because this life is temporary. Because this body is temporary. Because even if we lacked these basic needs of life, we would still have all that we need for eternal life. The only life that ultimately matters. Because even if we starve to death in this life, Jesus is the bread of life, and he gives himself to us. He himself says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And we have received him right here at this table. And even if we lack clothing and shelter, we were to die from the elements. Paul says, "For as many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." In our baptisms, we have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus himself. Jesus is saying that these fundamental needs of earth don't matter because they aren't fundamental needs at all. Ultimately, he is the only need we truly have, and he has given himself to us. Second, Jesus provides us with some practical logic. He says, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you?" We see how God provides for his creation. And we know that as human beings, we are the pinnacle of his creation. If he provides for the lesser things, surely he will provide for us, who he created in his image. So there is no need to be anxious. God will provide. Additionally, we can be certain that he loves us. In fact, we know from his word that he loves us so much that he sent his son to die in our place that we might have eternal life. God cares for those he loves. In fact, he cares so much that he provided for our greatest need, that of a Savior. And even when our earthly needs cease to be taken care of, he has given us already all that we need for eternal life, his very own Son. Aren't we foolish to be anxious? Thirdly, Jesus explains that even by our own worldly standards, being anxious is foolish. He says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" When it gets right down to it, being anxious is simply a waste of time. Time that could be spent in worship, prayer, praise, joy, fellowship, or work is instead spent anxious and worried. And for all this time that we waste being anxious, it doesn't add any more time to our lives. At this point in his sermon, Jesus shifts gears and shows that actually anxiety is a bit more serious than just being impractical. He exclaims, "O you of little faith!" With these words, Jesus tells us that anxiety actually indicates a lack of faith. And this makes perfect sense. Faith in God is trust and confidence that his word is true, that he will provide for our earthly needs, and that he has already provided for our heavenly needs. Anxiety or worry, on the other hand, shows distrust and doubt that his word is true. It's questioning that he will provide for us here on earth. And it shows that we are hesitant to believe that he has already provided us with heaven. In fact, Jesus goes so far as to say that anxiety is something that the world does, but it's not something that Christians do. He says, "For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. These are difficult words for us to hear, because you and I are full of anxieties and worries about all kinds of things. This leaves us with no doubt, then, that we are indeed sinners. And that on our own, our faith is imperfect. Thankfully, though, Paul teaches us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the writer of Hebrews says Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith. Let us then say with the Father in Mark, I believe, help my unbelief. You see, on our own, we would wallow in our anxiety and doubt and worry all the way to our graves and onto a well-deserved eternity in hell. But the good news is that anxiety is no different than any other sin. Jesus died for our doubts and our worries, and he forgives them too. And he has also given us faith through his word and his sacraments. And he continues to strengthen our faith and our trust and our reliance in him through the same. Here, Jesus shifts gears again in his sermon. And instead, now he focuses us on the kingdom. He says, instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Instead of being anxious, Jesus directs us to focus on what really matters, the only thing that ultimately matters, the kingdom of heaven. He continues with some truly incredible news. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, he says. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. For this kingdom, the one and only thing that truly matters, it is attainable. In fact, not only is it attainable, it is our Father's good pleasure to give it to us. He wants us to have it. Now, it's not attainable by our own works or deeds. Even better, this gift, this kingdom is given to us as a free gift. And it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, he says. You see, God recognized that we couldn't get the kingdom ourselves. We were too caught up in our anxiety, our doubt, our worry, and countless other sins to ever be able to earn it, or grasp it, or come to it on our own. But Christ took away our sins of anxiety and worry and doubt and all of our other sins. And he bore the tremendous weight of them all as he hung on the cross. And by his death, he forgave them. And by his resurrection from that death, 3 days later, he extended life and the kingdom unto us. And 40 days after that, he ascended into his kingdom, and he promised to return one day to take us there with him. With this incredible news in mind, Jesus continues, saying, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. You see, knowing that we have the kingdom frees us from anxiety and worry, because we are sure and certain that we have the one and only thing that truly matters. And indeed, when we realize how trivial the things of this life are compared to God's kingdom, then not only are we free from anxiety and worry about these things. We are actually free to give them away, he says. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. When we compare the frail and fleeting and transient treasures of this world, which are things that can be lost, stolen, and destroyed, to the immense and eternal treasures of heaven, which are ours forever, the things of this life become so meaningless that we can simply give them away. And that's the truth. Our worldly possessions, the things that we're so often anxious over, the things that often cause us to lose sleep at night, truly mean nothing compared to the treasures of the kingdom, which our Father has given to us through Jesus Christ. Jesus concludes by saying, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Our worries and our anxieties show us where our focus is, where our heart is, where our treasure truly is. And Jesus here provides us with a litmus test with which we can examine ourselves. So use it. Examine yourself. Are your worries and anxieties showing you that you are focusing on the things of this world more than on the things of heaven? Are your treasures found in material possessions? Or is your treasure truly found in heaven? As you examine yourself, remember that Christ has given you the kingdom. Remember that this is all that matters. Remember that he has also given you the ability and the strength to overcome our anxieties and our worries and to focus on him and his gift of the kingdom. Finally, remember that when we fall short, when we have anxieties or worries, he has forgiven them. By his death on the cross, he will continue to do so. Glory be to God. Amen. The peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life.
We stand to sing an offertory, page 192.